in the 23rd Psalm, the first verse, we have seen that David takes the position not of the shepherd, but of the sheep. And again, this is necessary if we're going to live the life on a consistent basis that is described here in Psalm 23. We've seen that this is a position of assurance of salvation. We see the assurance in those first words of verse 1. It's also the position of one who is a recipient of God's grace. His position of recognized need, which leads to, it is a position of humility. There's nothing proud about sheep. And we see it's a position of contentment. That too is especially expressed in verse 1, but expressed all through the psalm. And we saw last week, we began looking at that it is a position of property and privilege. Again, sheep are property. We looked at several verses where the Lord uses those words, my sheep. He also speaks of his flock, which speaks of the privilege of the Lord's sheep. We're sheep. It simply means that we are his property. We belong to him. We are his possession. And that is so by gift. God gave us to Jesus Christ. Christ is the shepherd. We are his sheep. We are his sheep by gift. Notice in John chapter 10, and what we see here is when we say by gift, we're talking about election. God chose a people. He not only chose a people, he gave that people to Christ, who is the shepherd. Jesus speaks in John 10 and verse 29. He's talking about his sheep in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, that is my sheep. They, my sheep, follow me. I give unto them, my sheep, eternal life. And they, my sheep, shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them, my sheep, out of my hand. My Father, which gave them, that's, once again, his sheep, me. So we see we're his by gift. God the Father gave us to him. No man is able to pluck them, that is, my sheep, out of my Father's hand. John chapter 17, very familiar verses of Scripture. Christ refers over and over, this is his prayer for his sheep. And again, I don't believe that this is just a general prayer, but I believe he's praying for each one of his sheep individually. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that's Christ, has power over all flesh, the reason that he should give eternal life to as many. So there's a limitation. To as many as thou hast given him. Now that's pretty plain. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Out of the world. He didn't give the whole world to Christ. He gave some out of the world. But again, thou gavest me. We're his by gift. Verse 9. I pray for them. Who's he praying for? Those whom the Father has given him. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I'm not praying for the world at large here. But for them, which thou hast given me. There it is again. We are his by gift. For they are thine. That is, he has the he belonged to the Father, therefore he has the authority to give. You don't have the authority to give someone else's property. You can only give your own. You don't have the authority to give what belongs to someone else. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these, those whom God has given him, are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. So we see over and over Christ speaks of those who are given to him, that they may be one as we are. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. So you see, over and over, Christ refers to these sheep as those whom the Father has given him. We are the property of Jesus Christ by gift. We are also the property of Jesus Christ by purchase. Notice John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, who I am, giveth his life, and he gets particular again, for the sheep. For the sheep. And he said in verse 26, you're not of my sheep. But the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. That speaks of the price paid for the sheep. Purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. He purchased his sheep out of the hands of divine justice. He did so by the lawfully demanded price, his blood. And then we see we are his by inheritance. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His inheritance in the saints. So we belong to Christ by gift. God the Father gave us to him. We belong to Christ by purchase. Jesus Christ purchased the souls of his sheep. And we are his by inheritance, by what Christ, by what God has done. It is also not only a position of property, it is a position of submission. Sheep are in submission to the shepherd. Ours is a position of submission. We will never enjoy the life that the Lord has given us until we get in that position of submission. We will never enjoy the life of Psalm 23 until we're in this position of submission to the shepherd, which requires faith. Faith that he knows what is best, that he not only knows what is best, he does what is best. Notice in John chapter 10, again, and verse 3. To him, that is the shepherd of the sheep, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them as the leader, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's submission. And all the shepherd has to do is speak. And then he goes before them. And the sheep take the position of submission. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Again, submission. So it is a position of property. It is a position of privilege. It is a position of submission. And there may, if we're going to live in Psalm 23, there has to be an ongoing awareness of all of these things, of our salvation, the assurance that we are saved. That has to be settled. You'll never consistently live for the Lord until that is settled, until you know, until you have the assurance of salvation, until you realize the great blessings of salvation. Then you realize our constant need, the necessity of depending upon Him. That needs to be recognized every step of the way. This leads to a deep-seated humility and the realization that we are not our own, that we belong to Him. And then this all leads to a willingness to be in constant, to be in a constant state of submission. So he takes the position of the sheep. He also recognizes the position of the Lord. We must recognize our own position. We must recognize the position of the Lord. The two go hand in hand. You do not recognize the one without recognizing the other. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." In those words, again, he recognizes his position as a sheep, but he also recognizes the Lord's position as a shepherd. And the analogy of a shepherd is used in several places of the Lord. It's a position of authority. It's a position of ownership. Notice in Psalm 80, the 80th Psalm, and verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. He's talking about God. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. He's praying. And he's praying to the shepherd. Against a particular shepherd of a particular flock. The shepherd of Israel. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 1. Or I'm sorry, verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall, speaking of the Lord God, feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Takes the position of a shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Verse 12. Has a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Speaking, of course, prophesying of Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel 37, verse 24, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Again, a prophecy of Christ as shepherd. Again, it's a position of ownership. It is a position of authority. This authority speaks of his government, his jurisdiction, his dominance, his rule, his right to do as he pleases with the sheep on any given day. So living life in the 23rd Psalm is recognizing and submitting to the authority of the Lord. It is the very opposite of what we read in Jude verse 8. We read there, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Notice what else they do. They despise dominion. Dominion is authority. They despise, they think lightly of authority and speak evil of dignities or authority. But how are they addressed? Filthy dreamers. And that's what folks are that do not submit to the authority of the Lord. They dream. They dream that their life is going to be more than it'll ever be. The reason their life will never be what it could be is because they do not submit. And they dream. They dream that they're going to have this great life. They're filthy dreamers. And following their dreams, they defile their flesh. And they despise dominion. They hate authority. That's why the world, of course, hates God's word. They hate authority. It's why they hate the God and the Christ of the Bible. They hate authority. Can't stand authority. They want to be an authority to themselves. So life in the 23rd Psalm not only submits to the authority of the Lord, recognizing his position as shepherd, but it rejoices in the authority of the Lord. Again, as you read that first verse in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's not said, that's not written in a tone of gloom. Those words are written with rejoicing. The Lord is my shepherd. And to truly live in the 23rd Psalm, you don't only recognize the authority of the Lord, you rejoice in it. You rejoice in His authority. There are a lot of people who follow rules that aren't happy. They follow authority, but they're not happy. There's a big difference We're to recognize, yes, the Lord is my authority. But we're to rejoice in that. We're to rejoice that the shepherd puts bounds around our lives because we know he does so to protect us from ourselves. He does so to protect us from those that are without. So we rejoice in the boundaries that God sets around us. And we realize that it is a privilege. It is a privilege to live life under His authority. It is a privilege to live under His government. And that's a wonderful life. Again, there in the book of Joshua, chapter 23, he said, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." It's one of two things. It'll either be the God of heaven or the gods of the world. But everybody serves someone. And everybody is under some authority. And there is no better authority to be under than the Lord's authority. And if you truly have a right attitude about the authority of the Lord, you truly recognize it for what it is. That's freedom. That's liberty. That's a wonderful life. So he recognizes the position of the Lord. He is the shepherd. And we'll begin next week looking into what that entails. That the Lord is the shepherd. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. We thank you most of all for the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that we are your sheep, that we belong to your flock, your pasture. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We pray now as we worship you that you would help us to give you the honor and the glory that is due to your name. Help us to realize who we are. Help us to recognize who you are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.